about, I won't keep saying it, but the stepfather of Jesus, or the father of Jesus, whichever you're comfortable with. Neither's right nor wrong, it's just a different way of thinking about it. Dad, yes, yeah, Abba, Father. There was a summer evening, and there was a violent thunderstorm, and a mum was tucking her small son into bed. She was just about to turn off the light when he said in a trembling voice, "Mummy, can you sleep with me tonight?" His mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. "Oh, I can't, dear," she said. "I have to sleep with your daddy tonight." And after a long silence, he said, "Daddy's a big sissy, isn't he?" What do we think of when we think of the word father? Abba, daddy. What do we think of? Because I'm really aware at this time of year that preaching about Joseph is a little bit of a dangerous thing to do in a way, because your version of father might not be my version of father and the version of the person who sat next to you. So your father, your daddy, might not have been that wonderful person that everybody thinks about when they think, when I think of father. So what we're talking about when we talk about father is a father that was like God, a father that cared and loved. And if your father wasn't like that, because I don't know all your histories, then that's the father that I'm talking about. There are quotes that we associate with fathers, and here are a couple of them. The first one, I don't remember ever saying this, but it seems some fathers say, "Ask your mother," a lot of the time, especially when it's a tricky question. "Ask your mother. Ask your mother." Yeah. No, a lot of them ask for money, but no. "Don't worry, it's only blood, it'll stop in a bit." Some fathers say that. I definitely said this one. "Do I look like I'm made of money?" Yes. Yeah, Paul still says that, he was telling me in the vestry. You still say that, don't you? "I'm not sleeping, I was just resting my eyes." Yeah, fathers say that. "I'm not just talking to hear my own voice." Do these resonate with anyone? Yeah? "A little dirt never hurt anyone. Just wipe it off and stop crying." "We're not lost, and I don't need to stop, and I don't need to ask the way." I've definitely said that one to myself. Yeah. I do wonder how many marriages have been saved by sat-nav. I do. "Don't make me stop this car and turn round." Driving somewhere. All these are quotes. So, I thought I'd start the service, or carry on with the service, by giving you a direct quote from Joseph. Anyone know what it is? A direct quote from Joseph in the Bible. Something that Joseph said in the Bible. Anyone? Do you know your Bibles? Jean? No, I've not read it to you this morning. Paul? No? Dorothy? Struggling?
I was only thinking about when the angels spoke to him.
They did, yeah, they did speak to him. Yeah? No?
He did say when the angel had gone, didn't he? That he had been told this.
Yes, that's right.
He had been told this.
Yeah. John, any ideas? Direct quote of Joseph from the Bible? Am I fooling you all?
Yes.
Indeed I am. There is no direct quote from Joseph in the Bible, sorry. It just makes you think though, doesn't it? You think, there should be. There really, really should be something that... He never spoke. He was never quoted as saying anything in the Bible. They did indeed. And I'm sure Joseph said, "Thank you very much." But it's not written that he said it. There's lots of things that Joseph would have said. We can assume the words that he said, because when I ask that question, you can hear him talking to the innkeeper. He must have had a conversation with the innkeeper. "Have you got any rooms?" "No, I've not got any rooms." And yeah. So that must have happened. We can visualise him when we looked at the picture, talking to Jesus about carpentry. And this is how you make a dovetail joint. This is what you do in order to make... And he would have had those... But there's nothing actually written there. It was thought that Joseph was much older than Mary, because generally, men who got married were older than... Probably considerably older. I was asking Paul how... We don't know how old Joseph was, but I probably agree with you. I think he was probably in his 30s when they got married, but that would just be a... That's just a guess. Yeah. What we do know is that when Jesus began his ministry, Mary was alone. We know that much. And because Mary was alone, we can assume that Joseph wasn't around anymore. So we can assume that Joseph had died. And Joseph probably thought that his life was pretty well planned. He'd got married, got a wife. There was Jesus. We know that they had other children. He discovered his wife was pregnant. And can you imagine what a shock that would be in those days? Joseph was a man of integrity. He wanted to do the right thing in the right way. He considered divorcing Mary when he learned of the pregnancy, but wanted to do so without calling attention to the reason. We all know that he could have had her publicly disgraced. She could have been stoned to death for what had happened. And yet Joseph protected her. And in those days, a marriage contract was worked out between families. Joseph came from the royal lineage of King David. We know that from the gospel genealogy. We know that because we're told that Joseph was of the line of David. And the portrait that I have of him suggests he was a quiet, unobtrusive man, available when needed, enduring hardship and disappointment. Looking forward to fathering his own child, he was faced to being a father of a child that was not really his own. And that would have been hard. That would have been difficult. But he trusted the providential care of God every step of the way. He didn't have any parenting books or any training on how to be a father to the Son of God, but what he did possess was faith and compassion. And God saw in him what was needed to raise the Son of God. So he was a very special person, really. We do sideline him, we do ignore him, but he must have been a very special person, just as Mary was, to be chosen for that special job by God. The Sunday school was putting on a Christmas pageant, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. And there was one boy that really wanted to be Joseph. And the parts were handed out, and the boy was given the role of innkeeper. He wasn't very happy about it, because he wanted to be Joseph. He was really upset, didn't say anything to the director, didn't say anything to the teacher. And during the rehearsals, he thought what he might do to the night of the performance to get even with his rival, who was given the part of Joseph. Finally, the night of the performance, Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage. They knocked on the door of the inn, and the innkeeper opened the door and asked them what they wanted. Joseph said, "We'd like to have a room for the night." The innkeeper threw the door open wide and said, "Come in, you can have our room, it's fantastic. Welcome, welcome." And the whole play stopped. And it was a nasty turn. Nobody quite knew what to say. And that's what Joseph must have felt like. Put in this position, what did he say? "God, how can this be?" But Joseph heard that voice from God, that small voice saying, "Trust me." Anybody ever heard it? That small voice from God, when things are really dark, God says, "Trust me." God's ways are not our ways, but God says, "Trust me, and all things will work together for the good." Joseph's love for Mary reflected Paul's definition of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not proud or rude. It is not self-seeking or easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Instead of being indignant at God, for put him in this position, Joseph followed what God was telling him to do and raise the Son of God. So was Joseph a perfect father? What do you think? He was human. Absolutely, Christine, he was human. So the answer probably is no. He probably wasn't a perfect father. We're told that after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had children of their own. Did the children believe that Jesus was the Son of God? There's an interesting question for you. Did the other children that Mary and Joseph had believe that Jesus was the Son of God? At the time, when Jesus was being raised with them, living with them in the same house, yeah, and Mary and Joseph had more children, we know that. Did those children believe that their stepbrother, brother, I don't want to offend anyone, was the Son of God? What do you think?
No.
No, we've got a no, we've got another no. Oh, we've got a no off Dorothy. Absolutely, Jean. But at the time they were with him, no. They came to believe in Jesus after the resurrection. They came to realise that, yes, their brother, stepbrother, Jesus, was the Son of God, but later on. And that realisation made a great difference in their lives. And again, we lose some of the accounts of the family of Jesus, but I can believe easily that they were involved in the early church. They would have been involved in working in the early church and talking about what it was like to be raised with Jesus when he was a boy growing up. It's a shame, really, that bit's not in the Bible, isn't it? Because it would be fascinating to see their perspective of it. There's a lot I'd like to know about Joseph as well. Where and when he was born, how he spent his days, what he said, when and how he died. But the last thing that we hear of him is when he made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem with Mary and Jesus, when Jesus was about 12 years old, something like that. That's the last time we actually see Joseph. So what can we learn and apply from Joseph's life? Because it's very nice looking at his life and saying how important it was that he was the father of Jesus. Does anyone still remember 9/11?
Yes.
Is it ingrained in your memory? It is in mine. Yeah, I remember I was at university at the time doing my social work qualification, and the buzz just went round the university that something had happened. And out of nowhere, it was really strange thinking about it, but out of nowhere, all these televisions appeared. In every room, people found televisions that they could tune in and turn on. And people just flocked to watch the television. And it was reruns of what had happened. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
Derek, I was on holiday.
Right.
On one of the Canary Islands.
Yes.
And as we're coming back from the beach, I saw this television. And me.
Yeah.
I said, they're not showing the towering internal.
Oh, dear me. No. Oh, shocking. Yeah. Yeah. But one of the other memories I've got is the incredible courage of people afterwards. People were running away, quite rightly, running away from the buildings which were on fire, all the rest of it. And there was a few people that were running towards it. There was people that knew that there was people in there that could still be rescued. And they were running towards the carnage. What bravery that must have taught. What courage to run to, because your instinct is to flee, but their instinct was to do something about it and to save. And that was their duty, and that's what they did. It's a story of courage. And there's a story of courage in Joseph as well. And there can be a story of courage in us. Are we brave enough to do what God wants us to do? day by day. Joseph was known as a man of moral courage. He was courageous enough to live a moral life in a corrupt culture. He was courageous enough to stand up for Mary when not many other people would have done. He was courageous enough to take on a child that was the Son of God and be a father to him. Are we courageous enough to stand up and say what the church believes in day by day? Are we courageous enough when something is not right to say that is not right? Or is it easier to remain silent? Because that often is what the church does. They remain silent and say nothing. And then things just get worse and worse and worse because there's not a voice. Truly righteous people make us uncomfortable. If we see Christians that are standing up for God, it can make us a bit sort of, oh, I don't want to get involved in that. I'd rather back away. Should we be praying for them? Should we be going a step further and joining them as they fight against the world, the things that are being done that are wrong? These things happening even as we speak now with refugees and asylum seekers that are just wrong. There's no other word for it. I work with an agency called Rainbow Haven. I have about 3 students there at the moment. And I do something called direct observation. So I go in and see people coming in. And they come in on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And they queue up from 5 o'clock in the morning. And the doors open at 9 o'clock. And by the time they open at 9 o'clock, there's normally about 100 people waiting to come in to talk to them about issues that they've got with the Home Office and all sorts of things. And whenever I go there, it makes me realise that these people are people. They are children of God. And it's easy to ignore that, and it's easy to forget that all that good work is happening. And one of the wonderful things about this place is that they meet in a church, and the church has decided, they prayed about it, and the church has a service on a Sunday morning. And the rest of the week, they give their building to this company, this charity that look after refugees and asylum seekers. And I just think that's a wonderful thing for a church to do that. They pay for all the heating and lighting, the church between them, and they just donate the church to do this work. Joseph resisted the pressure of society. Society would have told him to reject his fiancée, cut off the engagement, tell everybody it was nothing to do with him, go and marry somebody else and let Mary deal with it. Let her be stoned to death. Let society do what it wanted to do. He resisted that, and he stood by that. He stood by Mary. He obeyed God and took Mary home to be his wife. There's a small comment that displays the integrity of Jesus. He had a legitimate right to have sexual relations with Mary until Jesus was born. And he didn't. Scripture tells us that. And he didn't. And because he didn't, it was a virgin birth. It's a small thing. Yeah. But he knew that. And he knew that that's what God wanted him to do. And that's what he did. And he protected the child. Remember that journey that they went on? That must have been really, really difficult. If you look at the distance they travelled and the land that they travelled through, and yet he protected his family through that. So he showed courage in his life. He was morally and spiritually strong man in a corrupt world, and he was courageous. Are we? Are we morally what God wants us to be? Or are we still egocentric? Are we still looking to look after ourselves rather than look after the people around us, the community around us? Are we willing to stand up and be different? Are we willing to stand up and be a people of God rather than just be a people of the world. This time at Christmas, we get dragged into all sorts, don't we? Get dragged into gift giving and parties and all sorts of things. And it's easy to forget the real meaning of Christmas. Don't forget the real meaning of Christmas. Share it with somebody. This week, share it with somebody. Tell somebody that Christ is the important thing in Christmas. I've been trying to do this at the prison, and it's amazing, because when you talk to people, they honestly don't know. They honestly don't know.
We celebrate Christmas with our family at my nana's.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Oh, how lovely. Oh, that's nice. That's a nice way. That's a nice way to spend Christmas. Yeah, yeah. But honestly, when I talk to some of the prisoners, they don't even know that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And I know that sounds really odd, but they don't even know that very... We all assume that everybody knows that. They don't know it. They think that Christmas is a time for getting gifts from Santa Claus and for going to have a nice meal together and meeting with family. And you say, well, actually, it was when Jesus Christ was born. And they go, what? Who? What? When? Don't assume that people know that. So you telling them that in Tesco or wherever it is, it might be the start of God speaking to them. So let's pray. Lord God, when we observe the action of this mature and responsible man, Joseph, when we study his compassionate involvement, his disciplined restraint, his obedience, all woven together into righteous action for you, we know that we too can live in accordance with your will for our lives. In Jesus' name.